Welcome to the prayer meeting edition of Faith Comes by Hearing from Verdun-LaSalle Baptist Church, located in Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'm your host, Carlton Cumberbatch. Thanks very much for joining us. We hope that these messages from Pastor Jerry Sauve, which take place just prior to our prayer time each week, will be a great encouragement to you. And now let's join Pastor Sauve for this evening's message.
And so I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which I think is probably my favorite verses on prayer, because it tells us so much about prayer. And listen to what Paul says here in Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, let's pray as we begin. Father, we want to thank you tonight again for the time that we have had in worship as we have sung hymns to praise you and to honor you and to glorify you. And now, Father, we come to the part of our meeting where we love to look at your word and allow the word of God to speak to us. And we pray indeed tonight, Father, that your word would speak, that your Holy Spirit, who breathed out the word, would minister the word of truth to us tonight and would prepare us for our time of intercession and prayer that will follow this. So, Father, we pray that you would take your word, that you would use it, apply it to our hearts, and give us insight tonight, Father, and encouragement to understand how important and how effective prayer truly is, and how important a role prayer plays in our lives as believers. And this we ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about tonight earlier this week, I thought that it would be really good to just stop and zero in and focus in on prayer, because I really believe that prayer is one of the big priorities of the Christian life. Mm. I think it may be the most important priority in the Christian life, and particular the place that we give to prayer. And of all the Christian disciplines that we have, like Bible reading and church services, and I think that prayer is certainly one of those disciplines that most of us would admit that we probably have the hardest time with.
Right.
The whole idea of praying, particularly when it comes to our consistency in prayer, being consistent in prayer. And you know, we make commitments, particularly at this time of the year. This is the season of the year when we make all of those resolutions that we're going to do certain things during the year. And just so you can all relax tonight, that lasts usually about 24 to 48 hours, and then we'll give it all up again. But it's the time of year when we make all of those commitments and decisions that we're going to do certain things that we will set aside. Sometimes as Christians, we decide, okay, I'm going to set a time aside, a specific time every day that I will give to prayer, really a time that I will give to prayer. But it doesn't take long that the demands of life kind of begin to fit in and begin to steal away our time. And before we know it, all of our good intentions are going out the window. And prayer, again, becomes kind of sporadic in our life, or when we have a minute, we'll pray. But the Bible teaches us something totally different about prayer. The Bible really teaches us that prayer is to be a very significant part of our lives as believers. We are to really give ourselves to prayer. In fact, Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonians, said this. He said, pray without ceasing. We often talk about that verse. People often have questions about it. Does it mean you have to be praying all the time? Mm-hmm. And it's not the idea that you need to be in a room quiet by yourself praying all the time, but it's really the idea that we need to cultivate an attitude of prayer so that as we go through our day, we're constantly in communion with the Lord, constantly speaking with him. Jesus taught us that we should even pray with faith, believing. that our faith is important in prayer, that our belief that God will hear our prayers and that God will answer our prayers. Mm. I believe that God answers every one of our prayers in different ways. Mm. Sometimes God's answer is yes, and he answers. And sometimes that can be rather strikingly sudden. Sometimes you pray for something and God answers like right on the button. Other times God will say, no, that would not be good for you. That's not something that I want to do in your life. And other times God will be saying, wait. And so there are times when we pray for things for a long time before they happen. And, you know, when difficulties arose in the church at the very beginning, you'll remember this from our study of the book of Acts. When difficulties began in the church, the Greek or the Hellenistic Jews were complaining that their widows were not being taken care of in the daily service. Mm-hmm. And so the Greeks, they went to the apostles and they made their complaint. They said, you know, our widows are not getting the allocation that they should get or the help that they need. And the apostles responded in a very interesting way. They said that they couldn't neglect their duties to serve tables, so that they should choose seven very particular men. These men were to be men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit, and wisdom. So imagine, even just in serving the tables, possibly food and taking care of the needs of people, you had to have a good reputation, you had to be full of the Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled believer, and you had to have spiritual wisdom. And he said, I want you to pick seven men like that and appoint them to care for the task. But what's the key here is the reason why the apostles couldn't do it. And in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 to 4, listen to what they say. They said to the people, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom you may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I find that very interesting, particularly as a pastor. I find that very important that the apostles realized that their task was to study the word of God and to pray. And that they had to give themselves to this because that was their work. There were other people who had other gifts that could do other things, but this was their work. So the apostles understood the importance of the priority of prayer in their ministry, and they gave themselves to it continually. And I think for pastors, it's very important for us to understand that, you know, we can't just prepare sermons and get up and preach and teach. We need to be praying constantly. We need to have a strong prayer life that's backing up our study of the Word of God and our preaching of the Word of God. And the expression that they gave themselves continually to it really means that they were earnest in the task, that they really believed that this was their task, that they persevered in it, and that they were really diligent in prayer. They were totally devoted to prayer and to the study of the word. And more and more as I get older as a pastor, I realize how important this is, that it's not just studying and preparing Bible studies, but you really have to be praying to get the mind of God, to understand what God wants to do with that portion of Scripture. So over and over again in the books of the New Testament, we find very strong admonitions in the Word of God regarding our consistency in prayer. And it's no wonder that the devil will do everything that he can to keep us from prayer. Mm-hmm. He will distract us. He will try to put thoughts in our minds. He will have the telephone ring, the doorbell. Somebody knocks and rings the doorbell or knock at the door. There's always some kind of a distraction. He will do everything that he can. And that's why I find it's good to get up early in the morning. We're talking about getting up early in the morning a little earlier on, but one of the reasons I love to get up early in the morning is because you can pray without disruption, because most people are sleeping and nobody's going to disrupt you and bother you. So, or even late at night, if you can handle it without falling asleep. But it's important that we find that time to pray. Now, something interesting about that is We live in what a lot of people call the age of communication. This is the big age of communication. We have today more ways to communicate than we have ever had in the past. Because of iPhones and all that kind of thing, we can call people, we can see each other on the phone, we can talk with each other live on the telephone, we can text, we can post messages, we can share ideas, we can share the gospel. Yet even so, there is still a lot. There's a lot that we miss in communication when this happens, because communicating and saying things in a post or a text is never like speaking to somebody face to face. And in our age, I think we've kind of lost that, where, you know, how many people wished you Happy New Year with a text or an email this year instead of talking to you face to face? So we're losing that ability to communicate in that way. And when people are not present in front of us, we can't see the expression on their face. We can't see how they respond. We can't read their body language. They can't even respond immediately or question us about what we just said. So a lot of people get into a lot of trouble with social media, because sometimes you can say something on social media that's quite nice, actually, and somebody will take an offense at the other end because they read it a different way. And because they didn't hear you speak, or they didn't see you when you said that. And so because of these things, we often fail to realize how important it is to speak face to face. And you just can't get anything better than face-to-face communication. All that to say is, sometimes I think that's the reason why we struggle with prayer. Because we're talking to somebody we can't see. We know God is there. We know that He hears prayer. But often our problem with prayer is we can't see God. And we believe that He hears us. We know He's there. But we struggle keeping up the conversation with somebody that we cannot see, someone who does not necessarily immediately respond to us either or make His presence known. And so I think that's why it's really important that we call on the help of the Holy Spirit whenever we pray. We ask the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, Paul wrote in Romans, he says, we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we're very dependent on the help of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we understand that faith is at the center of all that. Our faith is really important when it comes to prayer. I like what the author of Hebrews says about that in Hebrews 11, and these are verses that you know, but in Hebrews 11, verses 1 and 6, we read this, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so when we pray, we have faith that God is there, that He hears us, that He hears our prayer, that He's concerned about it. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen. And then in verse 6, it says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him. That's an amazing thought when you think of it, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. God requires faith of us. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, that's very interesting, because what the author is telling us here is that we must come to God believing that He is, that He's there, and also believing that He rewards our diligence in seeking Him. And that refers to prayer. As we pray, as we come to the Lord and we're diligent in our prayer, He will reward that. So faith is really at the core, I think, of our understanding of prayer. We come to God with our prayers, believing that He hears us, believing that He's ready and willing to answer our prayers, prayers that are offered up in faith, trusting Him, and with a desire to see the will of God done. And so with this in my mind, as we begin the new year of prayer, I want us to turn our attention to this favorite verse of mine, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. which is really to me a great motivator to pray. Be anxious for nothing, Paul says, as he's writing to the Philippians. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reason why this is one of my favorite verses when it comes to prayer is that I really believe that this outlines for us why we pray, how we pray, what we pray, what our attitude should be in prayer, and what we should expect as the result of our prayer. So let's kind of walk through the passage and note what Paul is saying here. By the way, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul to the Philippians to teach them how they should pray and how we should pray even today. First, he tells us to stop worrying. And that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because we have a tendency to kind of enjoy worrying.
Absolutely.
And he says there, be anxious for nothing. That phrase means that we are not to be troubled with the cares of this world. We are not to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. Now, I want us to stop here for a second because that can sound very spiritual, but not very practical, because we do worry about certain things. But I think it's all in the wording. I want us to keep in mind that there is a difference between worry and concern. To be concerned about something or someone means that I have an interest in what is happening in a situation or in the life of a person, so much so that I want to help and I want to be involved in what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or a feeling that can involve all of those things. So we say that we're concerned about somebody's welfare, or we're concerned about how something is going to turn out, or even something in our own life that's going on. But worry is a whole different thing. And I think the New King James, and I think the ESV translates it like this also, really uses the right word in his translation to get Paul's point across. Paul uses the word anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. And when we talk about being anxious, that relates to anxiety. Some people struggle with problems of anxiety. And anxiety usually means that instead of being part of the solution to the problem, we become part of the problem. Our anxiety causes us to become part of the problem. So Paul says that instead of being anxious about circumstances, instead of being worried about what is happening in the lives of our loved ones or in our own life, that we should pray. So he says, don't be anxious. Instead of worrying and being anxious, give yourself to prayer. So one of the things that should happen when we feel anxious or worried is there should be a heightened amount of prayer in our life. We should not spend our time thinking and worrying about the problem, because as we've all learned over the years, worrying does not solve anybody's problem. In fact, worrying generally makes the problem worse. So listen to how Paul describes his concern for the welfare of the churches. Paul was very concerned about the churches. He had gone on his missionary journeys. He had founded several churches. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, Paul describes all the things that have happened to him as a servant of Christ. He's been through a lot. Listen to what happens. He said, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often, or coming close to death often, from the Jews 5 times, I received 40 stripes or 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in the water, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, the Jews, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Did you realize Paul had ever been through so much?
How old was he when he died?
I think they believe it was somewhere in his 50s or 60s. Wow. So he went through all of those things in his life. You might say that, you know, his was not a very glamorous life. He went through a lot of difficulties, but watch how he concludes in verse 28. He concludes with these words, besides the other things, besides all these things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Mm-hmm. Imagine, so in all those things that he went through, he says, every day I live with not only a concern for the churches, but with a deep concern for the churches. And, you know, I like reading that because as a pastor and as church members, you know, we have a concern for the church. We have a concern for our church. We're concerned about what's going to happen as the future comes and as we go along. And that's a proper thing to have. And Paul is saying here that he has a concern for them. And this word is similar to the word that Paul uses in Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Don't concern yourself about it. Don't become anxious about anything. But here it is more in the sense of having a concern or a care for the looking out for the churches. It's not, for Paul, it wasn't an unhealthy anxiety. He wasn't anxious. But he was concerned, and there's a big difference. And in our lives, there is place for concern, but there should not be any place for anxiety. First of all, anxiety and worry never solve any of our problems, but only make them worse. It really just complicates how we see things, and it can often lead to emotional trouble, can get us in a terrible emotional state. So God does not want us to waste our time being anxious about things or about people. But instead, Paul teaches us here in Philippians 4:6, he tells us to turn our mind to prayer. When these things begin to happen, when you begin to feel anxious, that's your cue that you need to spend significant time in prayer. And so he describes for us what true believers' prayer looks like. Look at the next part of the verse. But instead of being anxious, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So Paul's teaching us here that instead of spending time being anxious and worrying and kind of in reality wasting our time on that grind, we should use the time to pray. It should really provoke us to pray, to take the time to talk with God instead of worrying. And he gives us four aspects of prayer here, all of which are really important if we're going to pray effectively. First of all, he uses the word prayer. It's a word that, it's an interesting word because the word prayer in the Greek language here has the sense of worship. That when we come to God, we worship. It means that we come to God and we offer him our praise and our worship as we begin our prayer. You know, so often we kind of rush into the Lord's presence and we blurt out our request without really taking the time to acknowledge his presence, to recognize that he is there, to thank him for his presence, and taking time to worship him. But thoughtful prayer recognizes the fact that God is present and that he is really the only one who can make a difference in our circumstances, in what we are concerned about. Then the next word that Paul uses is supplication. And, you know, the French word for supplication, almost in the sound of it, gives away the meaning, supplication. It almost means to beg. It's a word that means to petition or to entreat. It means to plead in order to persuade someone. Have you ever found yourself praying like this? Oh, please, Lord, please hear my prayer. Please do this. You know, we're just pleading. We're supplicating with God. And so our prayers should have a sense of urgency to them. Otherwise, what's the point in praying? There should be a sense of urgency there. The very reason we come to God with our supplications is because There's an urgency in the matter that we're bringing to him. And then the next word that Paul uses is with thanksgiving. So we're to pray and we're to supplicate with thanksgiving. And this is really faith blending with prayer. This is what I call thanking God in advance for what he's going to do. That I'm ready to say thank you to God right at the outset because I know that God is going to work. And that he is going to answer in his great wisdom as we trust him. He will answer our prayer, no matter what the answer may be. And sometimes the answer to our prayer is very different than what we prayed. And then Paul uses a final word. It's the word requests. And it means that we come to God with very specific things, that we come to God with very specific requests. And it means that it really talks about what is required when we come to God. God doesn't want us to just say things to fill in space. He wants us to come to him with specific requests and with things that we are asking him for. And that's really the core of our prayer. Tonight we're going to pray. And in our prayer, we're going to be asking God for very specific things, the things that we need to ask him and talk to him about. So those four words are really important parts of prayer. Prayer, worship, supplication, thanksgiving, and requests. These are the things that we bring to God, and the attitude with which we bring them is really important. Now, I believe that what is extremely important to note here is it's not what Paul says, but it's what he's not saying. He doesn't say at this point that God will give us exactly what we asked for. Mm-hmm. In fact, he doesn't even tell us that God will answer our specific prayer in any way that we would even recognize. In fact, he doesn't even talk about the answer to the prayer. He just says, don't be anxious, don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then he gives us the more beautiful thing that will happen than even the answer to our prayer. He says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, Paul started off these verses with the idea that because we are Christians, that we are the sons and the daughters of God, that we should not spend our time worrying about people and circumstances, but instead that we should give ourselves to prayer because there is a real benefit in prayer. And this attitude in prayer will bring about something really wonderful in us. It will bring to us the peace of God, knowing that everything is under God's control. And that's what happens when we begin to pray about things that we're anxious about or worried about. Suddenly, as we pray and as we continue to pray, we begin to realize that God's in control and we don't need to worry about anything. I was sharing with some of you yesterday about, you know, how I, when we were putting the offer on this church building, how I wanted it, and I was asking God to open the way for us. I was getting anxious. I was afraid we were going to lose this opportunity. Mm-hmm. And so I began to pray and I was saying, Lord, I need a word from you. I need you to give me something from the word of God that I can, in a sense, hook my faith on. Mm-hmm. And God showed me that passage in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And so God was telling me, Jerry, just trust me. Put your trust in me. Just acknowledge that I'm involved in what's going on, and I'll direct the path. I'll lead you. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he did. He did. And what did that do? I remember that. I can still remember that day driving up to Cary Boulevard and praying that and just sensing that peace replaced the anxiety that was there. Mm-hmm. Because God had answered already. He had told me, look, he didn't give me the building that day, but what he did is he gave me the peace that I needed to continue through the process. And so that peace is what guards our hearts and our minds. Because, you know, when we get anxious, our hearts and our minds tend to get a little bit wild. We kind of lose kind of lose our grasp of things. But that peace will guard our hearts and our minds. It will keep our hearts calm, even in the midst of difficulty. And our minds will be at peace because we know that God's in control of everything and that he's going to direct the outcome according to his perfect will. And the Bible teaches us that as we pray, we need to always consider the will of God. What is it that God wants in this? I know what I want. I know what my will is. But what is God's will in all this? And the last three verses are the key. That he will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And without Christ in our life, none of this will happen. None of this can happen. It happens because Christ is the Lord of our life. Because as Lord, he is the one that we entrust everything to, everything about our lives. And he has promised that he will be with us. Jesus said, I will be with you until the end of the age. So he is aware of all that we go through. He is sensitive to what we experience in our troubles and our trials. And one of the verses that helps me a lot in this area when I get troubled about things is in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16, where the author of Hebrews begins to describe to us the person of Christ. In Hebrews 4, 14 to 16, listen to what the author of Hebrews wrote there. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly, and the word boldly there means let's come with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need. So note some things here about what the author says. First of all, he brings our attention to the fact that we have a great high priest. Now, we don't function with priests, although we are priests in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, there were priests at the temple. And if you had things that you wanted from God or you wanted somebody to pray for, you would go to the priest. And the role of the priest was to intercede before God for the people. And so we have a great high priest. In fact, the Bible says that we have a great high priest who is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is great in every way. He is great in that he is the only begotten Son of the Father. He is great in that he is a high priest who is able to intercede for us. And he is great in that he is in heaven and he's seated right there at the right hand of the Father. And he sympathizes with our weaknesses. Why? Because he was a man. He still is a man. He was a man who was tempted in all ways like as we are. He was tempted with all the things that we go through in life, yet without sin, because he was God, of course. But he understands what we go through. He felt the intensity of those trials and temptations. And so because of this, we should have great confidence. We should have great boldness to come to the very throne of God's grace in order to find grace and help in our time of need. Do you notice that there, once again, it doesn't say that God will necessarily give us what we want, but it does say that we will find grace to help in our time of need. So what a great confidence we should have in prayer. That's why we're here tonight. That's why we come to pray. Because we believe that God hears and answers prayer. But above all of that, we believe that God does something in our lives whenever we pray. That God meets needs in our own lives. He gives us that peace when we come to him in prayer and we bring to him all of our concerns. So as we begin the year 2024, can you believe it? As we begin the year 2024, let's make sure that we really understand the importance of prayer. And as God's people, that we exercise ourselves to pray diligently in our private times of prayer, but also in our times when we get together like this to pray. and see do God great things among us. And I think we have a lot of things to bring to God. We need to pray that God will use us in this coming year, that he'll bless our evangelism, that he'll bless the preaching and the teaching of God's word, that he'll encourage us in our fellowship together, that we will grow as a church. I'm praying that this year will be a year of growth. It'll be a year of harvest. We've been sowing the seed of word of God, of the word of God, for some time, that perhaps this year will be a real season of harvest where God will answer our prayers and we'll see many people come to know Jesus Christ.
It already started with those two guys.
I know. It is amazing, isn't it? Already some things have begun.
Yeah.
And we've seen people come into the church. So let's keep praying that God will do that and that this year will be a year when we'll really see the church prosper and grow. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word once again. We pray, O Lord, that all through this year we would remember these words, that we would be diligent in prayer, that we would set aside anxiety and worry, and that we would, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make our requests known to you, and that as a result of that, we would experience the peace of God that passes all understanding through Christ Jesus our Lord. And it's in his name that we ask it and pray. Amen.
Please join us again as we continue on our journey through God's Word. Be sure to visit VerdunLaSalleBaptistChurch.com and click on Weekly Sermons, where you will find podcasts and videos posted from our YouTube channel, VLBC Church. We can also be found on iTunes by searching with the keywords Verdun LaSalle. Until next time, please remember that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.